Okay, good morning, everyone. And I see again that we have a standing room only crowd. It's packed and we're ready to go. First, I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. All rise. Would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I will. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving right along to item number two, like to approve the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. And number three, public presentations. Anyone from the standing room only public wishing to address the board? Seeing none, we move on to item four. Reappointment of member Villanova for term expiring December 31st, 2023.
Mm-hmm. Since he's not here, I'd so move.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving right along to item number five, the approval of the January 28th, 2022 Audit Committee meeting minutes. We have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion. Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? None opposed? Motion passes. Number six, consent items. Approved quarterly fraud report covering January 1, 2022 to March 31, 2022. We have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion. Second?
Second.
Second by our esteemed counsel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Number seven, discussion and action items. Item A, review and approve the Department of Social Services Department Head Transition Report.
So, hi, this is Carol. I work for FRNA. We did conduct a department head transition review, and the review yielded in three findings. Finding number one relates to the inventoriable asset management. Finding number two relates to the capital asset management. And finding number three relates to compliance. We have the Department of Social Services here to address the findings.
And we have reviewed all the findings and are in agreement. We are making necessary changes to policies and procedures in order to adopt the recommendations in the audit.
Does the board have any questions for the department?
Okay. Any questions? Supervisor Magzig.
So with finding number two under the capital asset management, what were the items that were purchased that had a value over $5,000 that weren't depreciated properly?
There were a combination of six different items. A few of them were scanners. So we have we receive a lot of documents from clients, and so we have a mail room. We're processing high-level big packets from clients. Another one was a check sealer, and so we're issuing thousands of checks every month to public assistance clients, and so also we have this high-capacity check sealer. And then another, the last one was a plotter, and that actually prints out large poster boards, signs, those kind of things.
So all the items were identified. They weren't missing. They just weren't being depreciated properly. Is that correct?
Oh, no. They actually were not a board approved. So five of them were purchased in 2012. They were purchased 10 years ago. Those staff that purchased them are no longer with the department. But unfortunately, the process wasn't followed where they were taken to the board prior to purchase. So they were purchased. We captured them. We had them on our inventoriable list. And we just did not have board approval. We worked with the auditors. They've given the guidance that we can now enter them in our asset management system so they are properly recorded. The
Got
last
it. And
one
then,
was, oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, is there an item that has to be brought back to the board for just approval retroactively, or how is that ultimately rectified? Because if you're bringing them now into the system to be depreciated properly, at some point they've got to be recognized. So is there going to be an item coming to the Board of Supervisors, or how does that work?
Yes, so normally when departments, you know, purchase the capital assets without board approval, we do recommend them to take an item to the board to retroactively capitalize those items.
So that's coming then at some point, or maybe it's already happened and I've just missed it.
This actually is new guidance. So the guidance that we received during the audit was to submit the proper forms and to enter them into the asset management system, which that process has been completed. This is the first time I'm hearing that we need to bring them to the board, but we can.
I'm just thinking, I just want to make sure that we completely close the loop. So ultimately, if policy didn't allow for these purchases, the way that you work around that is the Board of Supervisors has to authorize that since they're the policymakers of the agency. But no problem. We'll get it all figured out.
Yes, so we'll work with the auditors on that guidance, and we'll bring it forward.
And one item was purchased, though, in 2020. So there were some items in 2012, 2013. And what was it that was purchased in 2020?
That was the actual check sealer.
That was the check sealer.
Yes.
All right. So I would imagine maybe there's one item that can be brought forward identifying all these items that can retroactively be approved. All right, very good. That's all I have.
Any other questions?
Motion. I'll move for approval.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Motion passes. Item B, review and approve the County Administrative Office Department Head Transition Report.
Yes, this was a transition review done for County Administrative Office, and we did have two findings, one related to their asset management, specifically for their inventoriable asset listing, and the second was compliance.
Okay. Any questions? Mr. Reinecke?
The only comment I would make is we reviewed, the administrative office has reviewed those recommendations and concurs with them and will make appropriate changes.
Okay. Right. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion. Second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Item C, review and approve the Department of Social Services Payroll Compliance Audit Report for all calendar year 2019 and calendar year 2020 through June 28th, 2020.
Yes, so we did conduct a payroll audit for the Department of Social Services. The audit covered calendar year, like you mentioned, 2019 and calendar year 2020. We had two findings for this audit. One was lack of or insufficient supporting documentation for overtime approval, and the second finding was under an overpayment of overtime for a total of seven under an overpayment of overtime. And the Department of Social Services is here to address the findings as well.
Stacy Sandoval, and I also have Aurelia Gomez with me, who is the deputy director. We are in agreement with the findings of the recommendations. We actually have a couple different strategies that we're following. One is that we are going to revise our internal policy and procedure guide. We've already formed a work group across the department that's going to look at processes, that's going to look at documentation, and then also how we save that documentation so that process is in place. The other, once that PPG is revised, we are going to do department-wide training, so we're going to involve our staff development to train all staff on these are the processes, these are all the forms that you need to complete. And then the last step, the finding regarding the over and the underpayments, all of those payroll adjustments have been submitted to the auditor's office to complete. So we have corrected those overpayments or underpayments for staff.
Supervisor Magzik.
Since we're dealing with payroll of employees and especially where we'd underpaid, are we getting hit with any penalties or fines or interest that has to be paid to the employees that were underpaid?
As far as from the state and federal government?
I don't know if when we find that we've underpaid employees that we typically I thought that you've got to not only report that to the employee,
well, if they
but
bring
you got to pay
clause,
interest.
They can get a labor claim, you know, if you haven't paid them. But.
Yes. Okay.
If we self-correct, we haven't had a charge against us yet. So,
okay. And then another question I have in regards to this, just looking at appropriate backup information where overtime was paid. Typically in your department, you have supervisors. Mm-hmm. Someone has to be reviewing timesheets, correct?
Yes.
So was there an opportunity to talk to some of these supervisors? Because apparently if there's missing documentation, ultimately it falls to the responsibility of the supervisor. Did you find that there was just lacking procedures or people were just not following procedures that were in place? What did you find?
So yes, all the procedures were in the PPG. We're just going to reinforce them, but it was a situation where the supervisor approved the timesheet and the backup did not match the number of hours, whether it's more or less. And so we have a listing of which staff it was and which supervisor that has been sent to the deputies, and they can address that with the supervisors. But those processes in place, it really just was a situation where it was not followed.
And there was just a small sampling, because I want to say that in Department of Social Services, you've got close to 3,000 employees.
Yes.
And that doesn't even include IHSS, which is a separate entity, which has about 18 or 19,000. So what was the 105 transactions that were taken a look at, the sampling that was done, was it specific to one division within DSS?
It was across the board. So we actually have a little under 2,700 employees. The IHS okay. providers, which you're referring to, 19,000, those are not county employees. That is outside this process. This is really just county staff, but there is 2,700. It was a sample that was taken across all branches.
Okay. I'll hold off on more questions till maybe later.
Okay. Any other questions, Council?
Does the overtime problem center in one of the branches more, for instance, like CPS, where social workers tend to get called a lot more, or any of the other social emergency responses, or was it pretty much across the whole department?
It was, so of the sample, I mean, it was a random sample that was taken. Yes, the findings were majority in child welfare, and it's because they are the biggest user of overtime. You know, when they have to go out to see a child in the middle of the night, that is claimed. And so that was a situation where the majority are coming out of child welfare.
Okay. Yes.
Hi, I have questions on... Can you explain what has happened when you say, or when this report says that the two approving signatures were the same? So would that be the person claims overtime and then authorizes their own overtime?
So the employee would sign the form, and there is a reviewing supervisor and another supervisor that has to approve that according to their PPGs. So we found that the supervisor approving the third time was the same person that approving as the supervisor. So there should be two supervisors signing the form, and those two signatures were the same.
And so am I understanding correctly, when the timesheets are reviewed, the employee submits it, should have already submitted and had approval for the request for overtime. The supervisor approves the timesheet, then the timekeeper in the department is also reviewing and making sure all information is available, the overtime is authorizations approved, is that?
That is actually currently not a process. So the documentation lives with the supervisor. So it was the supervisor who had that documentation and had the timesheet and should have done that comparison. Once the supervisor approves, then the timesheet or the timekeeper approves, they do not have that documentation. They're just reviewing for codes and making sure different, you know, work codes and time off is accurate. So it was on the supervisor.
Okay. And of the employees who, I guess, were short on their paycheck, how long have those employees not been compensated for that shortage?
So this audit was actually conducted of transactions in 2019 and 2020. And so right now, we made the corrections when the findings came back.
And so they still have not been paid for that time?
They have been paid for that time.
Oh.
It was the ones that are currently pending were the two, and those were actually overpayments. Where now we are going to adjust that out of their pay stub.
Okay, and so they don't have an option to pay that back. It automatically gets withheld?
Defer to the
or an overpayment?
You have to make an agreement with them, or you have to pursue an action against them. So the auditor controller handles that with
okay.
making an arrangement with them for the payback.
Okay. Thank you.
Have any of those employees retired of the 105? The reason I ask is that will actually impact the retirement formula, even though ever so slight.
So only actually of the 105 was the sample, only seven of those had an issue with where we had to do an underpayment over overpayment. Off the top of my head, I wouldn't know. I'd have to check. But there were seven that were impacted.
Okay.
107 just, so of the remaining, so of the 100, those were situations where they were paid correctly. The documentation was just not correct. It was missing signatures, or it was just missing, or we were missing the form all completely, but it was situations like that where documentation was issued, but it wasn't a payment issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you send us an email later on what he's requesting?
On the seven
just
employees?
Kind of an update. Yes.
Yes, of course.
Any other questions? Okay, motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second by the council. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And Ms. Bougay, I wanted to thank you for your, in such a short time, you've maintained a good grasp of the policies and procedures.
Oh no, I'm not the director. That's Sonia. I'm the finance.
How come
chief.
You look like her?
We look the same.
I mean, oh, okay.
We get that a lot.
I was
yeah.
gonna.
We get that a lot.
We have a stand-in in case there's any kind
is
of
that
coup
it?
Attempts.
Okay. I was testing you.
Just a decoy.
Yeah. I was gonna say I was testing
one of
you.
The criteria when we hired.
Okay. Item D: review and approve the proposed audit plan for fiscal year 2022-23.
I thought you just promoted her. Or something.
See, she's leaving already.
Oscar Garcia, Auditor Controller. Can you put up that slide? So we did a risk assessment and of the audits that we are planning to do. There were some audits that we didn't get to last year that we want to get to this year for various reasons, short staff, COVID. And the list is here before you. If you have any suggestions of do you want to move some of these up, we can move them up if you'd like. And we'll try to get to all of them. It looks like I'm probably not going to get to all of them, but we'll try. And keeping in mind that there's one more transition review probably in January to be because the sheriff is retiring. So those pop up. You know, when those pop up, we have to jump on those quickly. So the other stuff takes a back burner on that.
Oscar, I wasn't here when did you do the transition for behavioral health and public health, health already?
We have already.
So those are done.
I believe that the behavioral health is still in process.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're working on
that. Yeah, we're about to finish.
So as soon as they come up, we try to do those hopefully within 6 months.
Yeah.
That way it's still fresh in everybody's mind. So is there any suggestions? You want to move some of these up? We can prioritize some and not the others.
So I just would like to know, simple answer, how did you determine the priority?
Well, there's various risk factors that we have to look at. So we can look at if we get emails or there was errors in there, so we kind of prioritize those. So in payroll, this one that was just done, because of COVID-19 and all the overtime and all that, that was a high risk. I still consider payroll a high risk. I'm not really sure why we don't have more payroll. And just because, you know, on the last audit, there was 105 that were sampled, but of the population of X size, okay, so there were seven errors, but you have to multiply that out into the entire population. So there's probably other errors in there. So there's various risks, but usually it's if there's any errors and stuff like that. We'll look at that and prioritize them in that way.
Oscar, just yes. A quick question. So ultimately, though, do all the departments go through in your audit cycle? All of them eventually do get reviewed?
Eventually they will, but, you know, there's so many departments with a lot of business cycles, so it's going to take a while. But if we did the whole department, it would take a long time. So we focus on the business cycles themselves. So it's not as detailed overall department, but we can focus on it and do it quickly.
So moved.
Second.
A Okay, motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item number 8, staff updates.
So I did have a couple of updates real quick. Is that if you notice, some of the inventoryable assets in transition review and some of the capital assets have been an issue countywide. So we are going to focus on training and countywide training. So it's going to be held for all fiscal people at the end of this month or at the beginning of next month. And it's going to be held virtually, right? We have it virtually, so it'll be recorded. We found that virtually for training is a lot more beneficial because people don't have to travel. They can, you know, wherever they're at, they can just join, and it gets recorded, so then staff can look at it later. And the second, did you have a question?
Yeah, before you leave that. So, again, with the Department of Social Services, one of their items, there were several pieces of equipment, 6 that were purchased from 2012, 13, and 2020. So we have a procurement process, too. So to me, it sounds like there's not only the purchasing issue, but a procurement issue, and then your department issues checks, because all payments, as I understand it, come through.
Correct.
Yeah, your office. So staff, there's multiple layers of checks and also apparently multiple layers of breakdowns maybe that have taken place.
So what happens is usually they'll budget for a capital asset in a particular object. And if they circumvent that, it's difficult to find that. And you're correct. If we go into the general accounting where they look at the payments, they could theoretically go in there, and I will look into that to see if they can look at if this is a capital asset. It's hard for them to determine this is a capital asset, but I'll look into that and make sure that they are looking at that when they're authorizing the checks for payments as they're coming in on a different line item. And it's supposed to be in a budget in the 8,000 series, but if it's not, that's when it gets kind of tricky. So I'm assuming that's kind of what happened in that they didn't get budgeted in the capital asset line.
Yeah, I believe these assets were purchased by ISD on behalf of the department. So they did not use a capital asset account. They used the normal 7,000 series. So that's kind of what happened.
Well, again, that's another problem. So, again, if ISD is the one that's actually doing these purchases, there's a breakdown there because ISD should know that the board hadn't authorized this purchase, yet they're moving ahead with the purchase. Now, one thing that maybe we can avoid all this, because to me, $5,000, $10,000, well, it's a lot of money. It's not. For a department that's $1.5, $2 billion, the department heads, in my opinion, should have a little bit more leeway to approve some of these purchases because as a supervisor, I can only speak for myself, but it's kind of a pain in the butt to have to approve a $7,500 purchase when I think the CAO has authority up to $125,000, something like that, $125,000. So I think department heads maybe should have some authority, too, so they can maybe approve some of these things to keep it away from the Board of Supervisors.
Well, I think in the 5,000 series, why it's 5,000 is because we want to make sure that we keep track of assets because they have a tendency, might get misplaced, misappropriated, and we want to keep track of those. And that's why our policy is 5,000. And we have a lot of grants, and I believe that the grants probably require that you keep track of certain assets.
Do we have software in these different departments to keep track of assets?
Do you have software on yours?
Because we're grant funded wholly, and we have to track everything. And so we use the FR tags. We track everything. So, but 5,000, I'm bound to it because of what the state and federal government require. But 5,000 is. It's just, it's pennies on the dollars in our department. And so I don't understand why that would need approval. I understand why it might need to be tracked, but it's.
Well, if you had a 5,000 and you multiply that by 1,000 of them, then it gets into the big dollar amount. So, and that I think that was the whole intent was, you have one, and 5,000 for a department with millions of dollars is not very much, but now you multiply it by 1,000 of them.
Right.
And that starts getting up in the dollars.
But that's not typically the case. So you buy a printer or a copier, you're well over 5,000. You're about at the $12,000 limit right there. It's one. And so Department of Social Services, probably different because they're different in so many ways. They're a monster agency. But most of us aren't going to be buying to that tune. I feel like I mean, there has to be some discretion at the department head level to say, okay, here's what how you need to think through it. And I know audit findings tend to lock everything down super tight, but I still think you have to work on it. Me personally, I'd be more concerned about the payroll.
I am concerned about payroll, because there were seven of them. How many more are out there?
Well, and I think there should be some continuity and direction as to how you will keep data to support the information that you're approving, and have very tight protocols at a minimum for everybody in the county, and then discretion beyond that. But at a minimum, you have these protocols that you have to retain this, you have to check this. Because you make payroll, I mean, Oscar, you know this, because your staff are having to do payroll adjustments all the time.
Yes.
And so, but it's beyond the payroll adjustment. It's that the money goes out, the person doesn't work here anymore, what do you do? So it becomes problematic, and payroll is our biggest expense. So, but I do want to say, Oscar, I know your staff look at things, because they call my staff, and I tell my staff that's their job, is to pick it apart to make sure it's correct. So I do know that your staff are looking at things.
So one of the things to address that payroll that I can have is, and Adina, if we can get, I know payroll's swamped right now, but if we can get them to put together a class, so we'll get payroll to put together a class for the people out in the department, so their payroll techs out in the department, so that we're all on the same page as to what we're looking at and how do we best mitigate this overtime issue.
And I mean, it's time off issues. I mean, it goes both ways, but it seems to me that you could pull some people together from some departments and say, hey, what are your practices in your department? And say, that's a nice tight practice right there. This one works here. That one's too loosey-goosey. And find something that actually works. On a small scale and on a large scale, it would check all the boxes, because I didn't understand what Stacy was saying, but when I heard that the overtime request and approval was kept with the supervisor and wasn't a part of the timesheet approval package, however that looks, and that's concerning to me, because those two things are completely separate. So how does I can see how a supervisor might be approving it, but how does a timekeeper know that that was right and that was right, and now they're putting their stamp on it? So to me, it seems like the county would want to say, here's our threshold. Everything has to meet this for checks and balances. And then if you want to go tighter, go tighter. But you have to at least be at this platform.
So another thing to address your concern on the payroll on the payroll issue is that, I lost my train of thought. See, Carrie.
It's because Carrie changes.
Yeah, she was like
three times
she was throwing me curveballs,
complaint.
And I go, hey, I think I hit that curveball, and I swung and missed. Dan.
Yeah. Yes. We all use. Don't we and we don't do any overtime in my shop, although right now I'm having to look
at it. You're a lot of salaried people, though.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm looking at having to do it for my staff now, just because we're shorthanded and, everyone's swamped and I need to grant a couple hours here and there. But aren't those forms standard? Like the time off forms are standard across the county, right? Everybody fills out the same
as far as I know.
Form. They may have some other internal things that the department does to get approval for that overtime, but the form you actually use is that form that the supervisor signs off, and then the manager, over that supervisor signs off, and boom. Then.
But ultimately, when they get paid, it's what they put on their timesheet in the system.
Correct.
So it doesn't matter what the support said. They're going to get paid what they entered into PeopleSoft.
Right, and there's
and
no crossover.
And if the support doesn't match that,
forms.
Then that's when you say, hey, look, they had an extra hour of overtime.
What has happened is not Oscar's unit. It's an internal process that So the way we do it is, you know, the employee has to seek authorization to work the overtime. Then they have to tell us what they worked. They put it on their form. Their form gets checked by the supervisor. Then once that's checked, it's an automatic signature. COVID did make something super easy. Now that gets sent to our timekeepers, our HR unit, and it is held there. When our timekeeper, everybody's checking, supervisor's checking overtime that was coded. Does it match the sheet that was approved? Then my timekeepers, they check to make sure my supervisors were doing it right. So it's getting checked three times.
Who puts
times.
It into PeopleSoft?
It employee. Once it gets approved by the employee, actually puts it into PeopleSoft. They approve their level. The supervisor checks to make sure the employee was correct. They approve that. My timekeepers are then checking because they have the overtime here and they have everything.
Okay, but that's the same process in every department then.
Should
be. We all
be.
Go through that PeopleSoft system. How we make that comparison
right.
is different.
That check is the gap.
It's the
yes.
support going with the timesheet, and that's how it was determined that they were either under or overpaid.
And I think some departments don't. It takes a lot of work for a timekeeper to check every timesheet, and they're checking above and beyond the supervisor. And if my timekeepers didn't do it, we would have some mistakes.
Right, and I know I don't think mine does in my department because she trusts the supervising attorney. You know, that's signing off on the
but thing. When they check the timekeeper box, this is what a lot of people don't understand, is when you go into PeopleSoft and
you
check,
you've done it.
You say you checked it and it's
yeah.
correct. You're not just sending it and saying, hey, Oscar, give us a paycheck. You're saying, yes, this is correct. Yeah. Now give us the paycheck.
But it's different when you have 35 people
yes.
in your office.
As opposed to 2,500.
Right.
Because you have to have a bunch of people.
But what you have to keep in mind is that they have staff for that. So you're going to have less staff. They have more staff to do that type of work. You're correct. It is a lot of people. And if the committee would like, we could focus more on payroll, because I think that's the higher risk, to tell you the truth. We could throw in a payroll audit on this one. Just tell me which department, and we'll do it. That way it wasn't my choice. Carrie volunteers for her department if you like.
I'm in the middle of an audit.
If not, I have one more item to discuss, and real quick, is that the special districts, I don't know if you've heard, special districts are, some of them are in non-compliance and have been for a while. So what we are focusing on right now is we're gathering a list of special districts that say they have an audit every other year or every 5 years, and that has not come to the board here, and we're going to get that together and bring it to the board to make it official. They have their resolutions on their end, but we want to bring it to the board to close the loop on that. And we are focusing on one district in particular that hasn't had an audit for the last 10 years. They promised to bring their documentation from Sacramento in the next meeting. I think, Angelica, you're going to be there to gather that and copy it and see if we can duplicate some adequate books and records for them so they could be auditable.
So a question.
Yes.
What authority does this body have over special districts? Because I thought we mainly
focused.
It's
just audits that we're talking. This body does not, yeah. But I'm just mentioning what audits is going to be doing.
Okay. Very good.
The auditor has some independent requirements on certain of these districts to do it if they don't, and then try and collect the charges. So that might be something he'll be back to the board.
Right, that'll come to the board.
But with that, the law doesn't require you to do that because, again, special districts have their own separate boards.
They do, but there's, like Dan was mentioning, there is a code section that says if they don't, then the auditor controller shall cause an audit.
It says shall, not may.
I believe so.
Shall. But we can charge the special district for it, but the difficulty is...
Sounds like an unfunded mandate. Some districts are upside down.
Well,
they don't have
it doesn't.
The
well,
pay.
There's the question. Are we required to do it if at mm-hmm. our cost relative? That's an open question. Under
so
the,
we're trying to get them all in compliance, and we
the
have
grand
to
jury
use audit
a,
staff.
The grand yeah. jury had a comment on this a couple of years ago, then that's what
Several.
Oscar is doing in responding to it. And we've gotten some people to come to the table and step up, but
for the most part, other than one that hasn't done anything, but like I said, we're gonna have an audit
team.
Is,
that's there. Not the one we're talking that Supervisor Mendez has talked about needing to merge out of existence, is it?
No, I don't think so. And that's all that I have, unless anyone has any questions.
You know, Oscar, I just have one question.
Sure.
With regards to the going back to the fixed assets,
yes.
if there was a desire by the board to raise that, is that just a policy issue? Outside of tracking the fixed assets over 5,000 would be one thing. But if there was a desire by the board to raise that, is that just changing a policy?
The board can do that, but I wouldn't recommend it to the board. And that's because it's common practice throughout the industry that 5,000 is the threshold, just from what I mentioned earlier.
That's the threshold for tracking. But
depreciating an asset. As far as authorizing that, I guess I'm not sure if the board can authorize that or not. That would be more of a
question. I don't know, sitting here, whether there's some other requirement. I don't know of any. The legal, that's what he and I were just talking about offline, was whether it's a policy thing or a legal thing that requires governing body approval as opposed to a delegation.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend changing the capitalization policy.
No, we're not. He's not talking about that. We're talking about having to bring the smaller items to the board. Then the problem is if somebody like elections goes and has 20 of these things that are 4,000 apiece.
Any other updates?
That's all that I have.
Okay. Any other questions, remarks? Okay. We're good. Okay. Then I'll move for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to.
We have a motion. Second by Mr. Reinecke. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, staff.
Thank you.
I never really picked up from the time you were chairman, you were that dictatorial.